Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
First, it was Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Logan Ryan, off the deflection, takes it to the end zone.
And the Titans put a dent in the dynasty, winning 2013.
The Tennessee Titans have come into Foxborough, and they're about to shock the New England Patriots.
Today wasn't pretty. Offensively, we didn't do a whole lot, but we did enough. And our defense played big for us here in the second half, kept us in it, and then found a way to win.
Then it was Lamar Jackson and the top-seeded Ravens.
It's Khalif Raymond hauling it in, and Tennessee takes a two-score lead.
And the Titans got revenge on bitter defeats in past postseason, winning 28-12.
Now Henry takes a direct snap, throws a little lob pass over the middle, and it's caught by Corey Davis in the back of the end zone.
Stats and all that stuff is good, but we got the win, and we advancing. That's the most important thing.
Now, it's the AFC Championship.
We ain't done dancing.
Standing in the way of a trip to the Super Bowl is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, I think that's a confident football team. I mean, they had won 7 in a row. They're fully aware of their explosiveness and what they can do. I'd like to think that we're playing with a lot of confidence, too.
The Titans have had their number in recent years.
Suck them. And this one is good.
Eric Decker hangs on to that one for one of the biggest catches of his life.
For overtime, Butker's kick is blocked. This game is over.
Can the Titans pull off one more upset to punch their ticket to Miami?
We're not going to be complacent. We continue to improve. Don't change what we've been doing, okay? Working together, preparing, playing together.
It's time for the Titans to take everything.
Why not us?
The best Titans coverage lives on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That's right. It is time for the Titans to take everything. Welcome in some special coverage from Kansas City, Chase McCabe, and from WSMV Channel 4, Big Joe Dubin. Here on ESPN 102.5.
Chaser, how are you, man?
Man, I'm doing well. It's good to see you. It's been like 5 years since we've done radio together.
It has been. So it's a good time. Glad you made it safe and sound to Kansas City. I know a lot of our fellow media compadres had a tough time getting here on Friday. So evidently, last report, everybody's safe and sound here. And so we're national media's here, and so is the fan base. They're on their way up from Tennessee. I've talked to a lot of people this morning. I've been told, Chaser, by people here, as much as 30 to 35% of that stadium on Sunday could be Titans blue.
I believe it. I know that I ran into a bunch of people at various airports that I visited yesterday on my travels.
Right. Yes. They were running for president? Nine stops?
Basically. And they were coming to this game, and the weather wasn't going to stop them. So we are actually at McFadden's here in Kansas City. You may remember the McFadden's that used to be in Nashville. It's kind of the same deal here right next to the Sprint Center. Really cool area, the Power and Light District here in Kansas City. So I know a lot of Titans fans making their way. Hopefully they'll stop in. We are going to be live until 6 o'clock. JoJo and I will have it until 2, and then a special edition of Jared and the GM will be 2 to 6. So you've been here since Wednesday night doing stuff for Channel 4. You're doing the morning stuff. So what has this experience been like, especially yesterday with all the weather?
It's been fun. We had her Wednesday night, and we did a little stuff in the stadium, got to the hotel. Then Thursday morning we got up. We wanted to have fun on the morning show and went to a 24-hour, open 7-day a week. It's called Hayes Hamburger and Chili. And by the way,
that's right up your alley.
Yeah, chili at 5 a.m. so we're going to leave it at that. Great place. It's a staple in Kansas City. They were absolutely wonderful. And then we went in, over to Kansas and went to this big sports store and interviewed all these Kansas City fans. Let me tell you what, Kansas City sports fans are the nicest fans I've ever dealt with on the road. They are amazingly nice. They think we're going to win the game. It'll be fun. And hope you guys have a good time. And I was like, this is nice. This is the sports fans. This is the great trash talking and the good time that we're having here. So we came back and ate Thursday night, and then Friday, the storm hit. It was supposed to hit at 2 o'clock in the morning here. It hit at 7 and shut down the city.
Yeah.
You got stuck on the plane trying to get here. A lot of other people did. And the airport had a plane skidded off the runway. Everybody was okay, thankfully. And so the city kind of shut down. We were downtown. My camera guy and I, we got here downtown about 10 yesterday. We saw two Titans fans in 6 hours.
Oh,
and they were from Franklin. They were wonderful. And so we had a good time with them. But now everybody's on their way here today. And tonight there's a big pep rally down here with Titans fans. I'm hearing it's going to be epic. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that tonight.
Yeah, the team will actually make their way to Kansas City here in just a little bit. They'll be leaving Nashville to get here. So it's hard to believe because you remember the run. We just saw Floyd Reese, but Floyd Reese's Titans in 99 when they made the run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then again in 2002 in the AFC Championship against the Raiders. I'm still in shock. And I was at the game in Baltimore last week. I picked them to win. I thought it would be a close game, but I thought 2 weeks off, or really 3 weeks off for the starters for Baltimore was going to be tough for them.
Right.
And they could go in there, and they had this belief. But I'm still sitting here going, are they really in the AFC Championship
game? It's amazing. All right, so back to the regular season, that game on November the 10th, I picked Titans to beat, because Titans win one game like this year in the regular season.
Yeah.
They'll knock off the hottest team, the best team, the Super Bowl favorite. They do it every year. They would knock off that one team. So I said they're going to beat the Chiefs. But then I said, after that, they're going to lose the rest of their games and the season's over with. So then they go to Indy, and they smack Indy in the face. They go to Oakland, smack Oakland. And they just kept going on and on. And they had the two rough games versus the Saints and the Texans. But the thing about those games were they didn't get beat badly.
Right.
They competed the entire time. And I'm thinking, all right, if they squeeze in and Henry's doing good and Tannehill has been fantastic, there's a little something there. But then Brady loses in the final regular season game, and I'm thinking, all right, Titans are going to face off a pissed off Tom Brady. Do they want to go up there and do that? And Patriots going to win this game? They went up there and this completely took out of their game. Then to the point you talked about with Baltimore, I'm thinking, oh, Lamar Jackson, that crowd, right, to be hyped up. They didn't flinch. And that's the thing, is that I totally expect them to win tomorrow and go to Miami. They don't care about where they're playing. They've got a game plan. They're going to make you adapt to their game plan, not the other way around. And so I think Dean Pease had something that worked up for Patrick Mahomes. I watched that Houston game last week when they put pressure on Mahomes. Not easy, but six or seven guys got in his face. Any quarterback gets flustered a little bit. But then Houston started sitting back with a four-man rush, and Mahomes was picking them apart.
Yeah.
And so I think Dean Pease has something ready for Mahomes. I think the Titans win tomorrow.
Yeah, I picked them to win. I think they're going to do it again. It's so tough to stop a team that truly believes in themselves.
Yeah,
and it's,
you're right.
All 53. It's not just a handful of guys. It's not just Derrick Henry. They all believe, yeah, we're going to win.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be here.
You're right.
And I'm doing a story for Preds Radio that'll run tonight. And so I talked to Roman Yossi about, you know, their run a few years ago when they were the last team to get into the playoffs.
Correct.
And then they make the run to the Stanley Cup final. And I said, do you see comparisons? Because he's all in. They're all watching and supporting the Titans. And I said, do you see comparisons? And he said, absolutely. And it's all about that locker room believing in each other and believing in themselves.
Yeah.
They don't listen to the noise. And now the noise is changing because you have a lot of of the national media that now they're on the bandwagon and they're picking the Titans and loving Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and how much you're going to pay Ryan Tannehill and things like that. He goes, but you don't pay attention to the noise. You just focus on what's going on in the room, and it carries you there. And
you're exactly correct on that. I was watching. There's a Nashville native that does TV here in Kansas City. I'm not going to name the name. They were doing this whole breakdown of the game yesterday, and they're all like, Chiefs win, Chiefs. And you get it. I get the team on support the Chiefs. I understand that. But the rationalization of what's going to happen, he's like, yeah, they got Derrick Henry. He's been doing okay the last few weeks. I started laughing. He said, but other than that, they got a receiver, this A.J. Brown guy. He's like, nah, he's okay. But other than that, that's all they got. And the way they're doing this, da-da-da-da-da. And then somebody drops, well, Tannehill was terrible in Miami. And I just started laughing. I'm like, it's not my, this. Have you not watched? Oh, yeah, okay, there were parts of Miami he was terrible. I get all that. But he's not in Miami now. He's in Nashville. I was just laughing about this, thinking, all right, they have not, let's not see in the last 6 to 8 weeks because he's been the best quarterback. And nobody's even close to him as the best quarterback in football. And so they'll see tomorrow. But I'll tell you what, Chaser, it's 27 degrees, I think I saw when I got out of the car here. Right now in Miami, it's 78.
Well,
so I've got a there's an ulterior motive for us in the media. If the Titans win, get to Miami for a week. It's 78 degrees down there. That's what I want.
Yeah, and I've never been to Miami. So
have you not?
I have never been to Miami.
Okay.
So that would be a fun trip for sure. You bring up Tannehill, though. And the last two, you know, I can tell who's watched the games and paid attention and knows the players and who's just watched the last 2 weeks when I listen to national media because they're like, oh, Tannehill hasn't been great. I mean, well, he hasn't had to do anything.
Right.
When you have Derrick Henry running the ball 30-plus times a game and for almost 200 yards
right.
in each game, you don't need to do anything as the quarterback. But when he has, last week, what were the two big plays he made?
The pass to Janu.
Janu for a touchdown. And then
the
play-action pass. Well, in the run, but yep. then the play-action pass
to Khalif Raymond. Yes.
So there's right. three. So he's making those plays – when he needs
That's
to.
That's correct.
There have been games this year, not many, because Derrick Henry has been such a force, that if Tannehill needs to take over, if he needs to find A.J. Brown, if he needs to use his arm, he can. He can be that game manager, the field general, whatever you want to call it. And that, I think, is a big reason why they're here.
Saw a great stat by Tannehill. Before the Titans take a lead, he's like 6 of 7 or 7 yeah. of 8 for like 80 yards or 2 touchdowns. And like after that, he shut down. I mean, that's the whole point. Get a lead, hand the ball to Derrick Henry, and let him do the rest. So
right.
this analyzing of all this is just complete nonsense. About that's why I hate, you know, I hate stats. I hate when our local TV guys bring up stats. I hate it when national guys bring yep. it. You know what I hear from last week about Baltimore? Well, they had 530 yards total offense. And they scored 12 points. Final score
Watch the game.
Is what's important. I don't care how many stats you got. And there's somebody else in our market about red zone efficiency. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. Just score touchdowns and win the game. That's it. We get all bogged down in this minutia, all the stats and everything else. Just let it play, and the stats work out for themselves, and they win the ball game. It's that simple.
He is Joe Dubin of Channel 4, the Big Joe on the go.
Thank you.
The Big Joe on the go of Channel 4. Chase McCabe. We're live at McFadden's here in the Power and Light District in Kansas City. We'll be doing our show until 2, followed by Jared and the GM. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. We will gladly take your calls during the next couple hours. But when we come back, this team has had to battle being the road team. But does that matter? Joe and I will discuss that when we come back here on ESPN, 1025 The Game. We're live here at McFadden's in Kansas City, the Power and Light District. Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin from Channel 4 hanging out with us until 2 o'clock. So glad you're tuning in, 615-737-1025. The Titans and the Chiefs tomorrow in the AFC Championship game. We got you covered. I don't think we're going to break away from local programming ever until kickoff tomorrow.
So good. You guys shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
it's always great.
We have a ton of coverage for you again. Jared and the GM coming up here in just a little bit from 2 to 6. Teron Davenport and I will have a special edition of Chase and TD tomorrow morning, starting at 8. So looking
live?
Forward to it. Yeah, live. It'll be cool.
Where?
Our special Airbnb studio.
Okay, good. I sent OTD a breakdown from Logan's in Paducah about how you defend. Because I think his chalk talk is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because as someone who's sat in these meetings with coaches in high school and college, and they try to use the board. I've had a coach one time who was in college, screwed up a chalk talk so bad on the board that he broke the chalk and just left the room because he got confused and had like 16 players on defense and walked out. And so to watch Teron do that and the way he does it, it's really – it's not stats. It's breaking down plays that you see, yeah. and it's fantastic. So I always like watching his stuff.
So when we were in Baltimore last week, he said that somebody comes up to him on the field and is like, I love your breakdowns. I watch them all the time. I've learned so much. And he turned around, and it was Amy Adams Strunk, the Titans owner, controlling owner, saying that she loves TD's breakdowns.
Yeah,
so, yeah, they're cool.
Man.
They're informative, and that's something that he does on the show as well. So – one thing that the Titans have had to overcome this postseason, and I don't really think they've had to overcome anything because it hadn't been an issue, is playing
right.
on the road. They have been
sure.
the road team because they were the sixth seed, so Nissan Stadium was never going to have a game. But it just seems like they thrive off of that, of traveling,
right.
and that takes away some preparation time because you have to get here
sure.
and all of that. But it doesn't seem to bother them.
You know, I'm watching on the score here on the TV. the Capitals from 2018. Who was their coach?
Barry Trotz.
All right. Remember Barry Trotz used to tell us he loved taking his hockey team on the road because it's us against everyone.
Yep.
And he was always great talk. He's like, it's not good. It's just we're in the city. Nobody likes us. We depend on each other. And that's exactly what these Titans teams have done. I got worried when they went to Houston, the final game of the season. They scored. Remember, Houston came right back down and either scored almost immediately or got a field goal. I'm thinking, uh-oh. And then they started. Then they just destroyed him, went on the road. This team doesn't care. And I think that's a great football team that doesn't care to do that. Then the Packers in 2010 win the Super Bowl. I think they were a sixth seed. They rolled
that,
through.
Yeah, and then the Giants ended up winning that division.
In 07.
Yeah.
And the Steelers in 05.
Right.
I think, you know, I go back to the Rams in, I think, 79. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but as a wild card. So this whole, oh, it can't be done. Well, it's been done.
Right.
It's been done recently. It's been the Patriots did it in 85. Of course, they didn't win. They got to the Super Bowl where the Bears destroyed them. But I just think people want to make too much of this being on the road stuff, and Titans don't care.
Yeah, they don't. And Mike Vrabel was actually asked about that, of is there a different mindset that you have to have when you go on the road?
Well, I think that you have to be able to build that throughout the course of the offseason and your practices and the way that you prepare, that the games aren't always going to go the way you want. They're going to be tight. They're going to be close. You're going to be behind. You're going to have to be great in situations or 4 minute running the football. And so I think that that's a build up and that's a process to get there. Again, our path was made easy by, you know, we were going to continue to play as long as we won. And I guess that we would decide when we were done playing by how we played.
There you go, Mike Vrabel. And look, it doesn't matter if it's home, if it's on the road. That's the mindset that team has adopted. And that's what's worked. And that's what we were talking about earlier, of that they have that belief of, okay, this is our system. This is our process. This is what Mike Vrabel has laid out. And by the way, the best hire he made was Dean Pease. I mean, that was by far his, you know, bringing the veteran defensive coordinator, guy that coached him. Won a Super Bowl. So I think he's somebody that he leans on, you know, when he's looking for that. But Mike Vrabel has really grown as a head coach too. And so this team has adopted his personality and his mindset as a player.
One of the best road playoff wins ever was 2006. The Patriots flew across the country, took on San Diego, LaDainian Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers. Everybody thought the Chargers would win. Patriots had to travel all the way over there and all that. And Patriots won a game, a tough, gritty road game, won the game, right? So your head coach has been through this battle.
Right.
You know, he's been – so you can look – he knows what he's talking about these wins and going on the road. And I'm a football fan. I'm not necessarily a Titans fan or a Chiefs. I'm a football fan. Right? I like the game. I love the game of football. And I love the strategy. And I love the history of it. So you go back, you look what Vrabel's been a part of. In 01, that Patriots team that nobody thought would get there, and they win the Super Bowl. And then the one goes on the road in 06, and they, you know, they don't get to the Super Bowl because they lose to the Colts. And it's Peyton Manning wins that year. But other games he's been through to get through there. So your head coach has been through this, you know. So you look at him, he's willing to fight for you. How do you not play for a guy like that? How do you not? There's a lot of factors involved in tomorrow's game. But the fact that your head coach has been here and got your back, that says a lot, man.
And I think one thing he's done so well during the playoff, like you go back to the Patriots game, he out-Belichicked Belichick.
Yeah.
He pulled a Belichick move, and that's why Belichick was so pissed off because he realized he got beat by his own play.
Right.
He John Harbaugh, I don't know if he outcoached him. He didn't make mistakes.
I think he did everything.
Right. Yeah. And John Harbaugh basically outpsyched himself and, you know, Lamar Jackson. And so my point is, what he's done to this point is he hasn't had to overthink. You remember the Simpsons episode where Homer's the boxer?
Yeah.
And the whole strategy is you just let them hit you until they get tired.
Right.
That's basically what this has been. That's what Vrabel has done.
Yes.
And so it's worked.
I thought you'd like that.
I look at the matchup tomorrow against Andy Reid. Andy Reid, in my mind, is a Hall of Fame coach. No matter what happens, if he retires Monday, he's a Hall of Fame coach. Even though he doesn't have the Super Bowl,
we can get that later on because I got a problem with Bill Cowher being in the Hall of Fame. But go ahead.
Okay. We can totally get into that. But Andy Reid has had the knock of he can't win the big games. So that in the big games, he chokes.
Yeah, he does.
And so this coaching matchup, that's one thing I'm curious to see. Will Vrabel, will it be more of the same of he's not going to try to do too much. He's going to let Andy Reid get in his own way.
That's a great point. And there's the thing, too. This city of Kansas City, they totally expect the Chiefs to win, but in the back of their mind, they're totally expecting to lose.
Yeah.
Because of what happened last year, what happened 2 years ago, and Andy Reid has not had a great record. And was he 1-5?
1-5 in championship games. Yep. With Philadelphia and Kansas City.
1-4 in the NFC, 0-1 here. There's no way the Titans should have won in 2017 here. There's no way.
No.
And they beat him. The Tom Brady comes in last year and just rips them apart with that overtime win.
Yep.
So Chiefs fans here, they're very cautious. They're extremely cautious. And I didn't know the history of the Chiefs. This is only, I think, the third time they've hosted an AFC championship game in the city.
That sounds right.
Only the third time.
Because it was – they lost the first Super Bowl to Green Bay.
Yep.
And then they finally won it.
They beat Minnesota in the Super Bowl III.
Right.
With Hank Stram. So I don't know championship game history back that far, but this is only the third time they've hosted one. So I totally expect for the Titans not to be flustered and to come in here and get the job done.
Yeah, and I think, too, you look at some of the decisions Vrabel has made in his first 2 years. I mean, there have been times he's made a coaching decision that you go, what are you doing?
Several
times.
Yes.
With all that said, I think you're starting to see, especially after when he ran the fake punt with Kern and almost got Kern killed, like,
awful.
Know, the best player on the team.
Awful call.
Right. I think you can tell that he took a step back and he goes, okay.
Remember he lashed out the media.
He did.
Well, that's a question. There's one idiot who's going to ask me that question.
But I think you have seen him take a step back and he's looked at things. And whoever his inner circle is, you know, they have been saying, Mike, it's okay to be aggressive. That's the player in it.
Yeah.
But you got to find the balance of where the player and the coach meet.
Good point. That's
and
a very good point.
There has to be that middle ground, and you've seen it.
What game was it where they put Jonnu in the backfield and he ran 80 yards?
That was
Saints game or Texans?
Houston. It was Houston.
Yeah. What a great – I mean, what a
– right.
And I've said all along, you know, I go back to Art Smith. People, the first part of the season, were just dogging him because Mariota was terrible.
Right.
Mariota was – go back and watch that Denver game. That might be the worst performance by a pro quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
And it got him benched.
Awful. And Tannehill came in and makes it – anyway, that being said, I've liked Art Smith. Yeah. I think Art Smith creativity has always been there, and now you're seeing what it is. Come on, man. They did a jump pass with Derrick Henry on, what, the 2-3 yard line?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of stones is that to make that call in that moment? You get interception, Art Smith's blasted. I think I go to the break here. I'm gonna real quick. But I'm telling you, that play to me is a top three all-time Titans franchise since they moved to Nashville play. To make that call, to have him jump, to execute that, that's stones, man. In that setting, come on. Art Smith, coach of the year.
And my favorite part of that is Derrick Henry meets with everybody after the game. He got asked multiple times, because it looks like an improvised play. It doesn't look like a design play necessarily. And they're like, was it always supposed to be a jump pass? And he finally got irritated and goes, yes, that was the play. It's a jump pass, and it was always going to Corey.
Yeah.
That was it. And if it wasn't there, I tuck it and I run it in.
Exactly.
That's what it's supposed to be.
The breakdown of that play after was awesome because Davis was like in the slot and he got to the back of the end zone. And you can see that one Ravens player who he's leaning in, but he's looking back at Derrick Henry. And you just know what's going through his mind's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I ain't stopping this.
I love Arthur Smith's ability to, using Mariota, I think, has been great because you have Tannehill still on the field. He played wide receiver. So, you know, the defense is going to go, he can catch the ball.
Right.
They can throw to him. Now, they're probably not going to because you don't want to get the quarterback killed.
True.
But Mariota's in there. Mariota's got ability. So, Arthur Smith is really showing his ability to go deep inside the playbook.
Yeah.
And you know, have some of this creative
stuff. A call you do on Madden.
Yeah.
Right? You do that call. By the way, the emergency quarterback for the Titans, Kendall Wright. <I'm kidding. laughs>
He was, I think.
He was for years.
I think actually.
That's a 10-year-old joke now, man.
I think it would be Darius Jennings, probably.
I don't know. It's always a joke we use for, like, who's the Preds emergency goalie? You're always like, well, I think it's Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright. That'd be something. That's
good times.
Yeah, good times. Good to have the Joe Dubin, Big Joe. From
I got to order some food, Chase.
I know you're hungry. I told you that would be coming. We're live at McFadden's here in Kansas City. We're going to be here until 2 o'clock. So if you're in the area, come by and see us. You can also call us 615-737-1025 or text us. When we come back, we're going to talk about everybody's favorite running back, not Eddie George. It's Derrick Henry now. We'll do that when we come back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here at McFadden's in Kansas City, the Power and Light District. Chase McCabe and the Big Joe on the go from Channel 4 hanging out with you until 2 o'clock, 615-737-1025. All of our coverage is brought to you by Bojangles. So appreciate them for coming on board, and also appreciate McFadden's for having us as we get you ready for the AFC Championship game between the Titans and the Chiefs. So, Joe, as you know, the Titans' superstar is a running back. And I feel like we've said that before about this team. We all remember Eddie George. And for so long, people were waiting for somebody to emerge to take that spotlight from Eddie George. Chris Johnson did it at times. Of course, with the 2,000-yard season in his career here. But I think it's pretty easy to say Derrick Henry has now done that. I can't remember hearing a player's name chanted at Nissan Stadium as loudly as Derrick Henry's has been, you know, going back to Eddie, you know, the Eddie chants.
Yeah.
And so it reminds me so much of that.
It does, all the way. And you see, I mean, it's warranted what he happened the last part of 2018 and then, of course, what he's done this year. I've said from the beginning, you know, when he was at Alabama, there's a – football game they played Tennessee in 2015 where Jalen Hurd went down, the Vols got close to Alabama. About a couple minutes left in the game, and you're thinking, all right, what's Bama going to do? Because, you know, the Tennessee's got him on the kind of on the edge there. And this went to Derrick Henry. And he scored the game-winning touchdown, and it looked like just ease. So he's been doing this for so long. So the first 2 years in the league was a head-scratcher. Like, all right, is he not getting to the game? And, you know, he didn't go the first round. All these teams passed on him and everybody, and you're thinking, all right, what's it going to click? And then it clicked, you know?
Right.
And then you saw what he was in high school. You saw what he was at Alabama. And then since 2018, the last part, it's been so much fun. And the thing was, when he came out of mirror, like, well, football is evolving. I mean, there's a national media guy who was saying, football's evolving. The days of the running back are gone. And I said, oh, the days of the average running back are gone.
Yeah.
But the days of a great running back are always going to be there. Nothing destroys a team more than what Derrick Henry's doing right now. Let me tell me, when he did that run against the Patriots, it took him out, took their soul. The Texans, same way. I mean, it's everything. And when he did it against the Ravens, the same way he does that. So I think the good running game with Derrick Henry and having all that, he's fantastic to watch. Because if you are a pure football fan, you love to watch a running back and an offensive line just maul people. And that's exactly what they're doing. We talk about Henry. I know it's great. But that offensive line.
Sure.
Is
absolutely
playing from Lawan, Saffold, Ben Jones, Nate Davis. And I've been a huge Jack Conklin fan since the day he showed up in Nashville in the first-round pick in 2016. He's going to get paid next year. He's a free agent. I don't know who's going to pay him. I don't know if the Titans can afford him. He's going to get paid next year. He's been wonderful. You know why they're great? Have you heard anybody talk about them?
No.
No.
And they love that. They feed off of that.
Yes. That's exactly right.
And that, you know, from that standpoint, I think that's where Taylor Lewan has kind of grown up, because, you know, he's liked the spotlight and he does the podcast. And, you know, he has said the whole last year, the For the Boys thing, and then they went on a losing streak. And
right.
I think he's learned that, you know what, flying under the radar isn't so bad.
You're exactly right. And I've said Lewan is technique-wise, position-wise, is the best left tackle in football. Now, people are like, well, he jumped off sides. That has nothing to do with technique. You know,
right,
after the play, knocking some dude down. That's something to do with, that's just being a bonehead. And I agree with you. He's grown up. But his technique-wise, I saw something the other day, a thing where, like, as far as pressures and his guy getting the quarterback, it's the best in football over, like, the last 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. So I think he's fantastic. And now him and Saffold on the same page. Saffold with the Rams was a bulldozer.
Yep.
And it was tough here for him. He even went to social media, and I'm like, Roger, don't do that.
Yeah.
He's like, don't listen to people that you feed into them. Don't listen to that stuff. He's been great. I love Ben Jones. Fantastic. Yep. Nate Davis. We talked to Nate Davis during training camp, right? Because during training camp, you're trying to get 1,000 stories. And I'll never forget, we get up to him, and he's sweating, and we're all sweating. I said, hey, Nate, you got a sec? He's like, you want to talk to me? I said, yeah, man. He's like, why do you want to talk to me? I'm like, because you're an NFL player. We want to talk to you. He's like, yeah, I am, aren't I? And it was just kind of – he was like a young kid, very humbled, and yeah. So it was like he had a great time with it. And it's great to see him grow up and how he's gotten there, because there were games this year that you could have beat Nate Davis on an inside stunt. So he has gotten together and he's gotten good, and there's something working there. But you don't talk about it much, which is wonderful. And they don't mind, like you said, but Henry run for his yards.
Well, and what's happened with the offensive line, too, is – people forget the first part of the year, Lawan suspended for 4 games, so you have Dennis Kelly in there. And Dennis Kelly, I still say, is one of the best acquisitions John Robinson has made because of his versatility.
Remember who he traded for him?
Yeah, DGB. Doriel Green Beckham. Yeah.
What's he doing? He's in Missouri, isn't he? He's just
He's not in the league. I can tell you that.
He's not, right.
He's not in the league. But so you have that, but then you had Jameel Douglas that was in there at guard, and you had just – guys rotating in and out. What they've had the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, is consistency.
Yes.
They've had the same offensive line. So now all these guys are on the same page, and they're playing like the offensive line that everybody had hoped they would be.
Jonnu Smith, I just like to watch his little legs go because he's deceptively fast.
Yeah.
He's so good. And I remember when they drafted him out of Florida International, like, but you look at Robinson. Robinson came – from SEMO. Robinson played at a small school.
Yep.
I mean, come on. Beyer didn't even go to the combine.
Nope.
Didn't go in the third round. And people are like, oh, he might not go drafted at all. Like, third round, best safety in football.
There's some national media people that think that he did and said that's where he got noticed. I'm like, no, he actually didn't go.
But. No, he did his tryout over at Tennessee State because they had an indoor complex.
Right.
And that was in February or March of 2016. So Robinson, we gave a lot of credit to this guy, right? Because I'll tell you what. They won the playoff game here 2 years ago, and they let that coach go. Vrabel comes in 2018. They don't make the playoffs. They come in 2019. They don't make the playoffs. There's some questions that need to be asked. Those questions are now crumpled up in the floor and gone away because they put it together. But Robinson deserves a lot of credit for the Jonnu Smith, for the Byard, for things like that, for getting guys in here. People are like, nah.
For Derrick Henry. I mean, he's a second-round pick, but
– he drafted him.
Wasn't he the Was he the third of the 3 second-round picks? He had Dodd. He had Austin Johnson.
Look at you, Chaser.
Yeah. So, I mean, because he had made all those trades. And earlier this week, our morning show, Morning Drive with Braden Gall and Derek Mason, actually had Nick Saban on.
Ooh.
Fresh off the championship with LSU and Clemson. He, of course, was there. But Nick Saban came on to talk about Derrick Henry, and this is what he said about his former running back.
You know, he's playing right now for the Titans like he did when he was here. I think if you go back and, you know, look at his senior year here, gained like 1,700 yards. And, you know, some of the same features, you know, show up now. You know, great stiff arm, big, long guy that's really, really hard to tackle, can make you miss, has tremendous power. And I think what people miscalculate is a guy that big being that fast. But he was really that way here. You all just didn't see it out of him for several years. You know, as he learned and evolved, and I think every player, and, you know, Derek probably went through this when he went from college to the NFL. Whether you're going from high school to college or college to the NFL, I think there's sort of an acclimation that you go through to sort of learn a system and figure out how you got to play to be successful at that level. I think it's a little different. And, you know, that took a little time. And now that Derek's got his opportunity, he's certainly taking advantage of it.
I think people lose sight of that, these guys are human.
Hold on, let's go back. You got Saban on the radio? That's pretty outstanding. How'd you do that?
Well, I didn't do that. That was Marquise Munson, our morning show producer, was able to get it
done.
That's
outstanding.
Yeah, so he comes on and talks about, you know, Derrick Henry, Rashawn Evans, and some others. But, I mean, these are guys that obviously know him quite well. But
Nicely done.
Well, and I always reference at SEC Media Days, Saban sat down at our table for like 3 minutes before they whisked him away.
Right.
And one of the things that he said was, you know, here's the trick with Derek. When we started just giving him the ball pretty much every play, and that's how he thrives, just hand him the ball, and you're not splitting carries with someone else, that's when Derek thrives.
Yeah.
He gets better as the game goes on because of the amount of carries. And look, is that going to shorten his career? Maybe. I mean, when you load a guy up. But if he is giving you the production that he's giving you now, you're winning championships, then you're all accomplishing your goal.
Do you think Derrick Henry's ever gone to Art Smith and said, man, I don't want the ball?
No. Well,
tell me a great running back who's gone to the coach that I don't want football.
No, I would imagine he went into Vrabel and Art Smith when they said he was going to be scratched against New Orleans to rest the hammy. Like, what do you, you know, there was probably things I can't say on the radio.
They almost traded him last year, 2018. Yeah. They almost they inquired about trading him.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't going great, and then it all clicked, and now he's going. It's doing wonderful, and I think the thing with Derrick Henry is he wants the ball. Give him the football. Give him the football, because when he hits it, I was at Party Foul in Donaldson watching the game last week, right? The Ravens and the Titans.
Yeah.
And it was packed in there. And so when he would run the ball and get to the second level, let me tell you something, brother. The entire restaurant stood up. I don't remember that when Eddie did that. I mean, I just – they were expecting something incredible. And usually they got that. That was the amazing thing about that.
He's so unique, and he's finally realized – how special he is, because look at his size. People tell me all the time he's built like a defensive end. That's what he looks like.
Right.
He doesn't look like a running back. He looks like a defensive end. Yet he's fast. He has that speed.
Come on.
And so he uses it.
Yeah.
And I think what's made him successful now is he's finally realized, you know what? I have a gift. I'm a big dude, but I have the speed too. So he's using it. And I know he's had talks with Eddie George that was like, dude, use your gift.
Yeah. I had talks with you about radio. Remember? I'm like, you're Eddie George.
You are. You're the Eddie George to my Derrick Henry.
So I was watching the game. The American Football Coaches Association was in town last week. I like to drop names. So I was watching that game with several coaches about Derrick Henry. One recruited Derrick Henry in high school and was talking about how they looked at him. And they said, look, this guy running back, but put him at linebacker, and he's going to tear. And that's what Will Muschamp wanted him at Florida, is linebacker. But everybody wanted him at linebacker.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of believed, like, all right, running back, we'll see what happens. But at linebacker, he can go side to side and knock people down. So everybody wanted him. And Saban basically said, from what I was told, like, yeah, we'll see when you come here. You know, we'll see. You know, didn't promise him anything. It didn't say we'll do this or do that. That's what I was told. And then so we're watching the run tonight, and this coach is like, I mean, that's like a giant defensive end running the ball. Like and how are you going to tackle? It's just amazing to watch he does. We've never seen anything like this. You go back to Earl Campbell. What's Earl Campbell? 5'11", 230 when he did all that stuff? Yeah, Derrick Henry. And it's funny, you see him in the locker room. He's a big guy, right? He puts the pads on. He's just gigantic. And so I love the Chiefs fans who are making the comment, he's just another running back. You got to knock him down. And
well, there's a Chiefs player that actually made a comment.
Correct.
And we will read that.
Yes.
When we come back. They call that a tease in the business.
They do.
Joe. He is Joe Dubin of Channel 4, Chase McCabe, hanging out at McFadden's in Kansas City. We will have more coming here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Little Deep Purple bringing us back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Joe Dubin hanging out for McFadden's in Kansas City. All of our coverage here on the road brought to you by Bojangles. Appreciate them for jumping on board. So we were discussing Derrick Henry, and certain fans are like, oh, well, he's not that great. You can tackle him, or he's not that tough to tackle. Frank Clark of the Kansas City Chiefs had this to say about Derrick Henry. Quote, he's not hard to hit. He's just a big guy, 240, 245, 250. Honestly, he should be running harder at his weight and at his size. I don't see no difficulty in tackling him. He's just easy to me up front because I don't look at any running back like they can't be tackled. He's not one of the best guys at breaking tackles, to be honestly. Has he not watched their games?
I don't know. That's funny to me.
We call that bulletin board material.
That's almost Earl Thomas funny from last week, too, all that stuff, yeah. I need to get you Riff, by the way, the audio tape Riff.
Okay.
Reading is fundamental. I'm just kidding, man.
Thanks.
So it's funny with him and with Earl Thomas. Let him talk, man. Come on.
It's bulletin board material.
Why would you say that? I don't get it.
You print those quotes off. You put it in Derek's locker and say, here you go.
Yeah, and you have it. I've been thinking, and I like the pregame speech Vrabel gives tomorrow. I'd like to be. Because I love pregame speeches coaches give. You're not privy to a lot of those pregame speeches because they don't want it to get out he cussed or said this or that. But you just think that tomorrow his speech, and I've been thinking that too, what would you tell the team? I mean, what would you tell them? This is us against the world.
Yeah.
we'll never – I always like this one. I forget which coach it was, pro coach, about playing in a game. It was like, I told him, we'll never be in this moment again. We'll never be in this moment again. And you define the rest of your life by what happens in the next couple hours. You walk out of here champions, you know. And so you just run through a wall for guys like that. And you look at all that you could do and with that pregame speech. But I would love to see what goes on.
Well, you had to know at some point I was going to tie in high school football to the show because we did a high school football show together for so long.
We did, buddy.
And I know how much you love high school football.
Best
I
friends.
Feel like in a moment like this, that's where you all these guys revert back to the Friday nights because it's the purest form of football, however you want to describe it. But that's what it is. It's just that simple that you have to have that mindset of you play for the guy next to you. You all lock arms. You play together. Is one team of 53, all the coaches, and you go out there and you handle your business. And I just think sometimes it gets so complicated in the NFL and with all the TV and everybody talking about them, but it's just got to be that simple.
I think what hurts worse if I'm a player is losing this game than losing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because you're close, man.
Right.
And so what do we have on the Titans? Logan Ryan, Deion Lewis, there might be one or two other who've made a Super Bowl.
And they've lost.
But they won, too.
Or won, yeah.
Yeah, but I might be leaving out a guy. Saffold lost last year.
Yep.
So there might be a couple other guys. But you go back to when you started playing football in junior and high school, and you make the college, like, I got something, you get drafted. You play the game to go to the Super Bowl.
Wesley Woodyard's another one.
Yep, he lost it with the Broncos in 13. That's right. So you play the game to get to the Super Bowl, and that's what these guys, it's there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's there. Nobody thought you would be here 3 weeks.
Right.
I didn't. You didn't.
No.
Nobody else.
Nobody did.
Nobody except them. Except Vrabel and that team and that staff who thought they'd be there. And now they're there. And they're so close. They got the momentum and feeling good about themselves. And they're just one step away. I mean, they're one step away. And then you worry about the Super Bowl when you get down there and all that other stuff. But Vrabel's been to four of them.
Yep.
He's won three, lost one.
Yep.
So he knows, again, what it takes to be there, the anticipation, the excitement, the preparation. But you're there, man. And it's just got to win tomorrow.
And I know this. If I were, a rookie on that team going through this for the first time, I would go to somebody like Roger Saffold and say, so what did it feel like to lose it? Because you're going to learn more from that guy of what it's like to go through the heartbreak of being that close.
Right.
Because it was a terrible game, but they were close. I mean, they could have won it very easily.
Yeah.
But to have it slip away, I've talked to Derek Mason about this and Floyd and Kevin Dyson and the guys from that team that lost in 99. And it's just you, it's great to win, but that's a good feeling. Like you're going to remember that, but when you lose it, like that's something that just stays with you.
And maybe Floyd can bring this up later on, which is a point. When the Titans went to the Super Bowl in 99, the 99 season, there was only a week between the championship game and Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I don't think they got to enjoy what they accomplished.
Right.
I thought they beat Jacksonville, and next thing you know, they're playing the Rams, and they lost the game. I don't think they got to enjoy that week off and then going down there for the week. It just was all so sudden because – for the media-wise, from Jacksonville, he came home to Nashville for a day, then back to Atlanta, and then then there's media day, and then it's Wednesday in your preparation. So I thought it didn't really – I thought the Titans and the Rams were cheated out of that experience.
Yeah.
So now it's back to 2 weeks
because they changed it the next year.
I think. It's back to being the two-week experience now, and I think that's it. So I felt bad for, like Derek Mason. They should have been able to enjoy that week of the buildup, then go to Atlanta – enjoy the next week down there. That was unfair to those guys to do all that. But, again, you win tomorrow and you figure it all out, and then you're in sunny Miami. But that's here where the temperature is in Miami. Right now it's 27 degrees in Kansas City. It's 78 in Miami right now. Exactly. Yes. Chiefs fans know what we're talking about. So somebody's going to go. Good luck. So you see the game tomorrow. We talked earlier about the doubt in Chiefs fans. They're expected to win, but in the back of their mind, they've been crushed the last 2 years. You create that small pocket of doubt in your mind for the Chiefs and their fans tomorrow, all the Titans fans that are here.
Yeah, look, and we saw that last week in Baltimore. I witnessed it firsthand because I got there and I'm talking to people and we're doing shows and we were at a bar right next to Camden Yards. And so a ton of Ravens fans were in there. But they were like, so what do you think about this game? I'm like, well, I think it's going to be a close game. And, you know, I think the Titans can definitely make it interesting and possibly win it. And they're like, yeah, I'm actually worried about it. Like, I think you guys have a really good team and have momentum right now. And momentum is one of those great debates. Does it go game to game, or is it moment to moment? Does confidence carry over? You know, what is it that you actually bring with you from game to game? And I'm like, look, they're playing really good right now. They're playing like they believe in themselves. And so there were a lot of Ravens fans that were concerned, and rightfully so, and we saw what happened.
I wish I'd have known that going in, because I'd have put some money on the Titans.
I
thought the Ravens would win that game too. I'm terrible at picking things, but I just they got that mojo, man. Yeah. They got that mojo to get it done. And I think all things point to them tomorrow. It's Derrick Henry, run the ball, smash mouth, defense.
There's a player I want to discuss that we brought up earlier, but I don't think he gets enough credit. And we'll do that when we come back. He is Joe Dubin. Jeez. I am Chase McCabe. We're at McFadden's here in Kansas City, all brought to you by Bojangles. Appreciate them for jumping on board. We'll have more coming here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live at McFadden's in Kansas City. Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin from WSMV Channel 4 here on for another hour. Jared and the GM coming up at 2 o'clock to do their full four-hour show, a Saturday edition. So stick around. We got you covered with all of our Titans coverage here from Kansas City, all brought to you by Bojangles. Appreciate them for jumping on board. You heard these hype packages that Ryan Porth and Kent Harris have put together. Fantastic stuff there. Derrick Henry, the big dog, as Jared will say multiple times, let the big dog eat. But there is another guy on this team, Joe, that we've touched on briefly, but he deserves so much more credit than he gets sometimes, especially from a national standpoint, and that's the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill.
Okay. I was going to go somebody else, but that's okay, though.
Well, you can do that. You can bring that up. But Ryan Tannehill, to me, is the catalyst that makes this entire thing work.
I'm with you.
He comes out, Art Smith calls in the play, and he makes it all happen. And I think so many people look at him going, well, he was terrible in Miami. Well, the teams were terrible in Miami. I mean,
coach was terrible, team was terrible, everything, yes.
Yeah, yeah. How's it working out with Adam Gase and Dowell Loggins now?
Up in
New York.
In New York, yeah. I agree with you. Look, I'm a big Brett Favre fan for the simple fact when Brett played, he was decisive. He was going to throw the ball regardless of what happened, interception, whatever. But eight times out of ten, that ball would be completed, and it was a perfect pass. Tannehill is so decisive, mm-hmm. throwing the football and his judgment, that, again, I go back to that Denver game with Mariota, how bad Mariota was in that game. His indecisiveness, didn't know what to do, where to go, where to throw it. His passes were awful. And then you see Tannehill, perfect passes. Okay, get an interception, it's fine. But delivering the ball and trying to move the ball, make things happen. And you see right then, the next week, Tannehill just took over. And that's the argument people have heard. Well, he was terrible in Miami. You know, folks, he's not in Miami anymore.
Right.
He's in Tennessee, and he's playing at a high level of something we've very rarely seen in the history of football. So I just think I'm with you, man, on this. And if you think you can, Tannehill can win a game tomorrow, absolutely.
And he's in the right system. And I think people lose sight of the fact that sometimes, you know, certain guys just work in a certain system. And Arthur Smith, people were dogging on him earlier in the year because, you know, it just wasn't working with Mariota.
Right.
And Tannehill, you know, it was being dogged on in Miami. Well, now they get together, and all of a sudden, it's like it's the perfect match. It's like you and I. I mean, we work so well together.
It happens, man. You get it together. And it's funny about Art Smith. People are like, well, I'm glad Vrabel brought him on. And I'm like, you know, he's been here since 2011, right?
Yeah.
Like, no, he hasn't. I would have heard of him by then. Like,
Munch brought him on.
No, he's 2011. He's been here. So, you know, when he got promoted to offensive coordinator, we talked to the players last year. Like, that's great. We love Art Smith. That's why I said that was just a great – people like him. This team enjoys Art Smith. And so it wouldn't somebody else to come in and like, hey, how do you get down the street to the Arby's? You know, little right. things like Art Smith knows these guys. He knows where to go. He knows what they've been through. So I think it was a great hire, and he's done a great job.
Well, and what's funny is I said that one reason why they gave him the promotion and he got the job was continuity and being familiar with Mariota and Mariota yeah. being familiar with him. Because we all know that – The game plan in the offseason and in training camp was to build this thing to make Mariota successful. They were going to do everything possible in
right.
the final year, in year five to make Marcus Mariota be the franchise quarterback. So they did. They threw everything they could at that. And Arthur Smith was a part of that plan. And he talked about it. I talked to him at training camp and said, you know, how important is that? And he, you know, went through everything and said it was perfect because he and Marcus knew each other and knew how each other worked. But what's hilarious is the guy that didn't know him, that didn't know the team, that just came in this offseason, that was traded for, has been so successful in this offense. So sometimes the best laid plans, I mean, they just change.
They do change. You know, when I knew that Mariota wasn't going to be the quarterback for Vrabel, and Justin Beasley and I noticed this when the Patriots came to town for the two-day scrimmages, right? Yeah. And watching Vrabel talk to Brady and Belichick, but more only talk to Brady, he was talking, and I know they played together from 2001 to 2008, and I know they've got that bond there, but to see in those practices how Brady carved up the Titans defense, right?
Yeah.
Mariota was airmailing passes that were hitting Tracy Cornett at Channel 4. That was our joke. I mean, these passes were just sailing out. He looked terrible. And you're looking at Vrabel thinking, all right, I'm looking at the greatest quarterback, and I played with him, I know him, and I've got to go to battle with Mariota. And you could, I just had a sense of, like, Tannehill wasn't brought here to be this challenge. He's going to back up. And he just knew at some point the tipping. And, you know, we wanted Mariota to succeed. We all sure did, right? And that was the thing. But if there was any doubt, and that Denver game was the doubt, was like, you know what? And I'd like to know what Vrabel went in and said to Robinson, said, I got to have this. They probably went in, you know, and said, Marcus, I'm sorry. We're going with Tannehill. We can't win with this, what you did against Denver. It's the NFL. These are grown men, right? So he's got to go in and say, hey, buddy, put your arm around him. Hey, you gave it that, you know, yeoman's effort. No.
Right.
You go in and say, look, you're not getting it done. We're going this way. And you get it done, and you put Tannehill, and now it's changed, and they're in the AFC Championship game. But you saw, I just at that moment, Vrabel's like, I got to win. You win with a quarterback. That's where it starts and ends with. And so Vrabel now has his quarterback. They've got him, and look where we are. We're in Kansas City talking about the AFC Championship game, right?
Yep.
I expected today to be at my son's basketball game a month ago. I didn't expect to be here.
Yeah, I expected to be getting ready for the Preds game tonight. You know, be at morning skate. And
playing Buffalo tonight, right?
Yep, Buffalo, wearing the Winter Classic jersey.
More Titans fans. We got four now have shown up here. And we were downtown yesterday. My camera guy, Zach, we'll talk to him in just a minute, right? I'm going to put him on the air because he's wonderful.
Nice.
We spent yesterday, all day downtown. We saw two Titans fans because of the weather and everything.
Yeah.
Now they're starting to show up. There are going to be thousands down here.
I told
tonight.
You, we saw them in the, you know, multiple airports that we visited. rest areas.
Do you know how Duncan, you know Duncan Hines, right?
Yeah.
He's a person.
Yeah. Not Hope Hines.
Not Hope. Hello, everybody, Hope Hines. Duncan Hines is a real person, right? So Duncan Hines was from Bowling Green, Kentucky, was a traveling salesman. So he wrote a book or a journal about places to stop to eat along the way. And that's how Duncan Hines started. He would take the best places he on the route, because it was like Route 41 at the highway was. I may be incorrect, but I think that's what it is. Would drive all over the southeast, and that's how it all started. It's how Duncan Hines. And then so you were going to be like the Duncan Hines of airport travel.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll put you on.
The more you know. You know, they have the little thing.
Right.
The more you
Can
know.
I put this on his head real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. We're going to bring in a special guest now. This is Zach Tucker. He's my camera guy. We call him photojournalist, right?
Yeah.
From Channel 4. Zach, how are you, buddy?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's Kansas City been for you?
It's been great. Lots of free food. well, the station's paying for it, so it's free. But
yes. All right. Now, Chaser, Zach was on the field. He went to New England.
Yeah.
And he was on the field for the win last week at Baltimore. How was New England?
New England was interesting. I thought I'd get a lot more smack talk from the fans there, and they kind of seemed a little down on their team this year. I don't know if you experienced that there, but didn't seem like they had the same team.
What about Baltimore?
Baltimore was fun. A night environment for a game unlike no other. That was awesome. Really good crab cakes.
The only thing I was disappointed in Baltimore is where I was sitting in the press box. There were two fans that I thought were going to fight right in front of me.
Oh, man.
And so I was ready with my camera to witness that, and a girlfriend broke it up, and it just, you know, I was like, come on, let him go.
All right, Zach, where were you for Henry's jump pass in the end zone?
Oh, I was right there in front of it. Didn't get faked out.
How not?
I don't know. Luck, I guess.
Were you in the back of the end zone or the corner?
In the corner. Yeah, I no clue they were going to do that. And You know, there were memes on online, and I think Vrabel backed those memes up. I'm calling that play.
Yes, they're exactly right. So I'm amazed. You're proud of you, buddy, not getting faked out on that play.
Hey, you know, it happens. Well, lucky, we all get lucky.
Has that been your favorite moment of covering the team on the road the last 2 weeks?
No, the free food has been.
The free food has? Was there a moment in the
Joe,
game?
That's your favorite.
That is. What moment in the game stood out for you?
The moment that stood out, probably that 66-yard run in the second half. I mean, that's just been Derrick Henry's calling card, just putting the nail in the coffin in the second half, running the football, and just, you know, ending teams, really.
Now, look, you've shot a lot of football games in your career. Have you ever seen anybody that big that fast? It might come close to that.
Yeah, Cam Newton, whenever I was shooting up in Lexington, they played University of Kentucky, and that is a large man.
Fast.
He's fast, athletic, yeah. So
you had no problem covering Derrick Henry. Watching, you expected that to see that.
I mean, I think everybody's had trouble covering Derrick Henry this playoff.
But you haven't.
So what's the plan tomorrow? So you're going to shoot the game from the field?
No, we're going to be out having fun with tailgaters. So if you're coming to the game, come and see me and Big Joe out there. We want to get you on TV on Channel 4 having a good time.
Yeah, so we'll do that. So today, our plan for today is we're going to go to the pep rally tonight, talk to Titans fans. We'll be live at 5 and 6 with all the Titans fans that made their way here. And then we'll do a story for 10. Then we'll come back down and enjoy the tailgating and the pep rally with the fans tonight. And tomorrow will be a long day.
Sure.
Hopefully tomorrow is a perfect day of Titans winning, and then we can make our plans for hopefully Miami in a week and a half to go down there.
Is Beasley here?
Beasley's here, but
does he have supervision? Because I know you worry when he's by himself.
I do have supervision, but the thing about Zach and Beasley on the field shooting the game, what's tomorrow's temperature?
It's like 7. Well, it's going to feel like 0 during tailgate. And
at one point, I saw the temperature for kickoff was 22, and I thought that was an omen. So,
oh, that's very good. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
and somebody said tomorrow's Dolly Parton's birthday.
It is.
So you had Derrick Henry's birthday, you had Corey Davis's birthday, and now you have the Queen of Tennessee. Her birthday's tomorrow, Dolly Parton. So you don't lose on Dolly Parton's birthday.
You do not.
No. She's number one on our Mount Rushmore. Number one. Right, Zach?
Yeah.
You're from Kentucky. You don't care, right?
I care. Hey, and our waitress at Hayes Burgers and Fries, Jolene, right?
That's right. So
is this all coming together?
Look, how did you? Yeah, good job on that, Zach. Zach Tucker, ladies and gentlemen. Look for his amazing video tonight and tomorrow on Channel 4. Zach, enjoy your time in Kansas City.
Yeah, you too, Joe.
Thanks, man.
Good job. Good job, Zach. That was good. He's Big Joe from Channel 4, as you just heard. Chase McCabe here at McFadden's in Kansas City. We will talk about the opponent when we come back, Patrick Mahomes, because I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you've seen out of him. We'll do that. It's all brought to you by Bojangles here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Special coverage from Kansas City. We are at McFadden's in the Power and Light District, right next to the Sprint Center. All brought to you by Bojangles, Chase McCabe, Joe Dubin hanging out. Jared and the GM coming up at 2 o'clock for a special edition of their show. They'll have a lot to get into with the Titans and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship tomorrow. I'll be on the air at 8 a.m. alongside Teron Davenport with a special edition of Chase and TD as well. So I look at this game and I try and draw a few comparisons to last week. Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league, or one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, he is, you know, the MVP last year. You look at what he's done for this team. He even missed a couple of games. Comes back, first game back is against the Titans. And they, even though they lose, you can tell, okay, this is a tough opponent. So this is a guy that I don't think you stop him. I think you just try and slow him down. And that's similar to what they did with Lamar Jackson last week. Wouldn't say they stopped him. They forced him to make mistakes, and they slowed him down and ultimately held them to 12 points. Do you see it as being more of the same when you're game planning to go up against Mahomes?
I think so. I think, you know, he's going to get to the big plays. You're going to get touchdowns from him. But expect it's going to happen, right? For some reason, it looked like the Texans last week were shocked when the Chiefs started scoring points.
Yeah.
It's like they were like, oh gosh, here he comes. He's going to get his points and get his passes. Just don't let him get all day. How did Houston come here in the regular season and beat him? The Colts came here on a Sunday night and smacked him around. I'm watching him, I'm thinking, that's the Colts. And they pounded him. So he can be beat. He's not the greatest thing to ever throw the football around. Let me ask you this, though. Can we kind of claim Patrick Mahomes?
How so?
Because his dad, I'm looking right here, his dad played baseball for the Nashville Sounds in 2003.
Oh, really?
While he's with the Pirates. So they lived in Nashville for a while,
huh.
Right? Look, we claim the Rock, right?
Yeah, we do. There's always a Nashville connection.
I mean, the Rock went to McGavick for 6 weeks, and hell, he's the number one alumni.
I thought you were.
No, I'm second. So you get the Rock there. So we'll claim Mahomes a little bit, right?
Right.
Just a tad bit. When he goes on, if he ever goes on and wins the Super Bowl, we'll claim it. But you look at what he's done. From I remember when they drafted him in 17. I'm like, what? Okay.
Didn't they trade up?
Didn't I think maybe yeah. I don't remember, but you know they draft that Alex Smith was rolling, and
yep.
So you're like, that's an odd pick, you know, for all that stuff, and he's turned out to be fantastic with them. But
he has a bazooka for an arm.
He does. He does. But also he's human. I mean,
yeah.
You put pressure on him, and like you know the quarterback, they get rattled. I don't know why Houston sometimes are rushing four guys, putting seven guys back is not going to stop Mahomes.
Yeah,
sending seven at him and making him make quick judgments, and hopefully Logan Ryan or Byard or they called him here Byard, which they call him here, can make the plays and stop, you know, Mahomes from making something huge happen. But if I'm Dean Pease, and I'm not because I'm a terrible coach, because I'd blitz every down, I'd go after everybody, I'd blitz the whole time. If you can
good
go
for two, you.
Everything. Yeah, I would go. Come on, man.
No shotgun on the goal line.
Yeah. That's like I'd like to ask Floyd, who's sitting across from us, when Super Bowl 34 with the Titans, if Dyson would have scored, you're down by one, what would you have done? Fisher says he would have kicked the extra point, right?
Yeah.
You had an exhausted
I'd go for two.
St. Louis Rams team. They were absolutely exhausted. I would have gone for two.
Yep.
Just because you have a chance. I'm telling my team, all right, boys, I love you so much. I think you can get this done from 3 yard
right here.
Yeah, go out from 3 yard line. Let's win the game on our terms. If we lose it, we can walk away. See, you know what? We had it on our terms. We didn't get it done. But don't go to overtime.
Yeah.
Let them get a chance to rest and dictate what's going to happen. Win the ball game,
especially with that offense.
So yeah, you go back, and I'm thinking if you put pressure on Mahomes tomorrow, he's and I know that everybody else has done that along the way. Sure, but. You don't have Daquan Jones and Jarrell Casey and Rashawn Evans and Logan Ryan who blitzes from the corner spot and all that.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Good Lord. You know, I didn't really deal with him until – because you talked to him in rookie camp.
Yeah.
All that stuff. When they came out for Habitat for Humanity, when the Titans brought the rookies out there that day, we talked to him. He's wonderful. Just how massive he is.
He's
thinking,
huge.
How do you block this guy? I mean, I know they did it in college. I know there are a few teams that double-teamed got him or whatever, but – when he is fired up and ready to go, he's unbelievable. And that's what Mahomes got to face tomorrow. I don't think they're getting yards rushing the ball. Can you get pressure to Mahomes? That's the key of the game.
Yeah, and we always hear about these quarterbacks, and we did it last week with Lamar Jackson. Like, oh, he's so good. He can run the ball. He can throw the ball. And you can't stop him. They've only lost two games, and they're on this great winning streak. The Titans don't look at it that way.
Nope.
Like, Vrabel's like, okay, he's human. And, like, there's a mistake.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And I think that's how you have to look at Mahomes. Now, I think Mahomes is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. I think Mahomes deserves all the respect and the accolades that he's gotten. But he can be beaten. And if there's going to be anybody that I think can do it, it's going to be Dean Pease.
Right.
Dean Pease was asked about the challenges that Mahomes presents.
He's got an unbelievable arm, can throw off his back foot. He's got great accuracy while doing that. He's not a guy that just stands in the pocket. He can move around. He's just hard to get to. You know, he's hard to sack. He's hard to get to. He's extremely accurate, but at the same time, he's also can run. I mean, he's hurt people with his legs running the ball. If you don't have good rush lanes and aren't disciplined, he's going to take off and run on you and gain some yards. So, I mean, to me, he's a complete quarterback.
Yeah, that's what you just said. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, right? So, Dean Pease, look, he's been down this road, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They stopped Jackson. They flustered Brady. You know, mistakes are going to happen. You know, we probably wouldn't be sitting here if Julian Edelman catches that pass on third or second and
sure.
six or whatever it was. We wouldn't be here. They probably would have gone out and get the field goal and won the game. But they didn't. He didn't catch the pass. Dropped it. So we're here.
And I think that's what's been so impressive about this run is, you know, you have times where you got a team that'll go through the playoffs and you'll have the quarterback that they're not the one that everybody looks at. They're not the top dog on the team. Well, you had Brady. Everybody knows Brady's the GOAT. You had Jackson, and now you have Mahomes. The Titans have done a tremendous job of taking those quarterbacks either out of the game completely. Like, I never thought Brady was really in it. I mean, I felt like they slowed him down. And then in Lamar Jackson, it's the same thing. They made him make mistakes. It's going to be harder. It's gotten harder each step of the way.
Right.
But that's supposed to be that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to happen.
It's supposed to be that way.
I feel like the way this defense is built, that if they play mistake-free, and that is a big part of it, they can't make mistakes. They can rattle him, and they can force him to make mistakes and take advantage of it.
I totally agree with you. And tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I mean, in 24 hours. Tomorrow's going to be a fun, long, cold day, but it's going to be an important day. And, you know, Nashville, our city's only been through this three times.
Yep.
2000, 2003, the January. Yep. I mean, we're talking the 99 season, the 2002 season, and now. In 99, I think people fail to realize the 97, 98 Oilers teams were building.
Sure.
8-8. There was something they were building. You know, they went in 98.
They were 8-8 the last year in Houston.
Yep. And they were 8-6 in 98 and then lost to Green Bay on the road and lost to that really good Minnesota team with Dante Culpepper, Chris Carter, Randy Moss. But 99, they come out and they put it all. You sense that. I didn't sense that with this football team, right? So this is all, to me, it's kind of like, what's going on here? But if you're a Titans fan, this is fantastic. I mean, you have suffered through Wisenhunt in the 14 and 15 season was awful, right? I mean, awful.
Right.
And you see when John Robinson comes in, I'm not sure what Rustin Webster did for this football team.
I don't think he knows. He used to be able to say he drafted Mariota, but.
Yeah, no, not this time. And then so what John Robinson's done and putting this team together and the way he's done it. And, yeah, Pete got a lot of grief from, like, well, that's the Patriot way. But you know what? Patriots won with guys who got second chances, guys that nobody believed in, but they had a core.
Yep.
You had Tom Brady. And you had a Vrabel.
Yep.
You had a Teddy Bruschi. You had some core guys who knew Rodney Harrison. And you put people around that complimented them. That's what John Robinson has done here. And so we'll see the fruit of the labors tomorrow. Well, I mean, come on. Think about this. This team was 2-4, right?
Yep.
Listen to the Broncos. What if they go on to win the Super Bowl?
It will be one of those NFL, you know, the NFL films specials that, you know, you'll watch for years to come and the different moments. And
weren't the St. Louis Blues terrible last year, too, at some point?
Yeah, they were the last in the conference, and they fired their coach in December and then win the Stanley Cup.
So this is – it's not unique to just different sport. It happens. And I don't think – I think right now we're all caught up in it that we're not realizing how amazing what they've done. Because they said, you know, our playoffs started at Houston.
Yep.
And if they beat Kansas City, they would have knocked off all four division winners. They've earned every second to get where they are. They've earned every second of this.
And then not to mention –
welcome to my TED Talk.
Yeah, it's a great TED Talk. Joe Talk. And then not to mention, you know, the storyline that would be if they go up against Green Bay – Matt LaFleur.
Right.
And then San Francisco and that offense and the run that they've had.
I mean, you know as good as well as I do that the NFL is hoping its hope of a San Francisco Titans Super Bowl.
Sure.
You know, they're absolutely hating that.
Yeah, I mean, of course they are.
Same way when the Predators made the Stanley Cup, you knew they were hating that.
Yeah, but
NHL hated that.
And they'll deny. But
right.
You know, they want.
I love it.
They want Green Bay or Kansas City. You know, that's an old Super Bowl matchup. But
Super Bowl one.
And the thing that we haven't really brought up with this AFC Championship game. I mean, this is the foolish club right here. This is Kansas City, the old Dallas Texans, and the old Houston Oilers.
Right.
The AFL. I mean, this is a AFL Championship game that they had for so long with, you know, Bud Adams and Lamar Hunt. And I'm not going to get too far on this, but Bud Adams, the fact that he did not get elected into the Hall of Fame,
I mean, come on.
I think is a travesty.
I'm with you. Real quick, I know we get to the break. Bill Cowher getting into the Hall of Fame over Tom Flores for the Raiders is an absolute shame. Bill Cowher won one Super Bowl. Tom Flores won two with the Raiders. And the impact that he had on the community and what he's done, Tom Flores, what he did for the Raider franchise and everything, fantastic. Hispanic coach, what he's done for all that with the heritage. I think Tom Flores not getting the Hall of Fame was an absolute joke. Too Tall Jones not being in the Hall of Fame, absolute joke. Can I go a step further?
Sure.
Dale Murphy not being in the Hall of Fame infuriates me. And all this crap that's going on now with baseball and the cheating and everything, and yet here's one of the purest guys ever, Dale Murphy, and you're not letting him in the Hall of Fame because he didn't hit 400 home runs. He hit 398, whatever. Give me a break. That's why I can't stand baseball.
I know. I'm with you on that. And Flores, you're right. And I think Bill Cowher, I think he's a good coach, but
not Hall of Fame. It's because he's on TV.
Right, exactly.
No.
CBS factor. So what's next? Romo's going to be a Hall of Famer in 5 years?
Maybe, man.
Yeah, no thanks.
Welcome to Chase's TED Talk.
Yeah, that's right. Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe, live at McFadden's here in Kansas City. Our special coverage brought to you by Bojangles. This team has to do one thing, as we have said, stay the course. We'll discuss that when we come back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Special coverage from Kansas City. At McFadden's, Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin. He's sitting there just staring at his burger. I keep making it work.
I used to get smacked by a former co-host friend of ours when I would eat on air, and so he had every right to smack me, so I'm good. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, well, I think I know who we're talking about.
So I'm seeing more and more Titans fans show up. There's a few here. There's some up top of the bar here at McFadden's, and so they're all arriving en masse now here in Kansas City. And so I think we were telling Chiefs fans on Thursday we were at some spot where they knew Jared Stillman at this radio station, right? So that kind of ruined my day, but we got past that. And they were talking about, oh, it's going to be so loud for Titans fans. And I said, you know, we're hearing at least 30% of that stadium has been sold to Titans fans. Because Chiefs fans are selling their tickets. We would never do that. I was like, look, there's a price.
We'll find out.
For everything. You got two tickets, and I'm saying, hey, I'll give you $1,500 for those two tickets that you paid $500 for eight games back in August.
And then you turn and look at that TV you bought at Christmas that you're trying to pay off and go, all right, sure.
Yeah, it's too cold. I'm not going to be there. I just think this is a testament to a fan base that people want to throw under the bus, Titans fan bases, that they don't care, they don't support the team. And now, look, it's winning. Let's not be stupid about this. People love winners. You saw Chase McCabe, prime example, the Preds playoff run.
Yep.
How many Preds fans did you all of a sudden friends have yourself when they made that run?
A ton.
Which is fine.
Because they're like,
fine.
They're texting me, you know, asking two questions. Can you get me a jersey? Can you get me tickets?
Right.
Like, well, you know, 770-7800. give them a call.
Right.
And NashvillePredatorsLockerRoom.com. That'll get you.
Perfect. You got everything you need right there. And that's exactly it. But let's not kid ourselves. Winning is the ultimate. Yeah. Winning is everything.
And we remember, you know, I used to make the joke all the time of with the Music City Miracle that there were, you know, 374,000 people at Nissan State or Adelphia Coliseum that day. And now, you know, for the Stanley Cup Final at Bridgestone Arena, there were 183 inside Bridgestone Arena for that.
Everybody's there.
And that's, look, that's okay. I don't have any problem with bandwagon fans.
No, not at all.
If you jump on, whatever. If you're the true, just die hard from the very beginning, you enjoy your moment your way and let them enjoy their moment their way.
Sure.
Because winning is going to bring more people on. Because I can tell you this, the organization, they don't care. They're like, they just want that stadium full. They want people to come in and spend their money and support their team. And that's what the players feed off of. So if the 35% or however many people are coming to Kansas City for their game, if they've been a Titans fan since day one in 1997 when they got on Nashville soil, or 2 weeks ago. I don't care, and I don't think they care either.
I remember going to a store after the Titans beat Jacksonville in 2000 to an AFC Championship game. I went to the store with my mom. We'd run by the store for something, and it was absolutely packed with people buying Titans merchandise.
Yeah.
Packed. And I was like, oh, okay, this is how it works in the NFL city. And it's fine. This fan base deserves it because 2008, they started out 10-0. They finished 13-3, lost in the first round to the Ravens, which was a heartbreaker. Quick story, I'll never forget that. We're in the press box in that game, and Flacco throws that bomb to Derek Mason.
Yeah,
I'll never forget somebody in the locker room says, in the press box says, don't let it be Derek Mason. Don't let it be Derek Mason. And Mason catches it, and he does that Michael Jackson dance over Cortland Finnegan, which I thought was great. And Mason's doing that dance down. Anyway, so this fan base has been waiting and waiting. And nobody wants us to go out and support, like, your football team's 2-14. Ha ha. You just kind of lay back a little bit. But now they're coming. You can see the pictures on Twitter, and Facebook. There are thousands driving here from Nashville today. I've seen it today on social media. So good for them. Good for the team. Good for Nashville.
Well, and it's I heard Jared mention this the other day on his show that there are two GMs that have gotten this team to the AFC Championship game. One is his co-host that you'll hear at 2 o'clock, right. Floyd Reese, and now John Robinson. And that's the gap of how long it's taken to get back to this point. And you bring up the Wisenhunt years, but you know, going through trying to find the heir apparent for Steve McNair. I mean, you had Vince Young, and then you had Kerry Collins, and you had Jake Locker, and then Mariota, and Matt Hasselbeck was in there, and all these other quarterbacks that have been in, and you finally get Mariota, and you think, okay, they figured this out. They found the guy, and the fans love him. I mean, even today, knowing that he's the backup, if you say anything bad about Mariota, they're coming after you because they love him so much.
Right.
And that's great. I hate to break it to you. He won't be here next year. But,
you know,
that's the passion that Titans fans have. Well, now they can use that energy on supporting a team that, you know what, they're 60 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl.
And I think the redemption tour for one Ryan Tannehill would be an amazing, amazing story, how he was, like, shown the door in Miami, and now he's returned with a different team at the stadium where he played at. Did you see the thing Cameron Wolf wrote the other day about Tannehill's time in Miami?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. People need to search that out, how he went to that final drive in Miami, and he said, gentlemen, whatever happens after this, I don't know, but it's been an honor to be your quarterback.
Yeah.
But come on.
Right.
I mean, I want to run through you and that wall over there for that. Come on. That's a leader. That's a humble, confident leader. And reading that, I was like, I'm all aboard Team Tannehill now.
Yeah,
that's great.
And you and I both, I mean, I think you can relate sports to real life every day.
Sure.
And I know how important sports are to you, but you and I have both been in situations where you have something and you feel really good about it and things are going well, and then all of a sudden, boom, taken away.
Yeah.
And you have to go back. You have to start over again. That's what Ryan Tannehill did. And you know what he could have done? He could have gotten sour and could have had a bad attitude and been like, I don't want to be a backup.
Right.
I don't care about this Mariota kid. I'm not going to help him. But he didn't do that. He was a mentor. He was there every day. He was meeting with Arthur Smith. He was, hey, however I can help the team, that's what I'm here to do. Now, at the same time, he said, I want to be a starter in this league. I'm a competitor. I am here to compete. He said the right things, though. Yeah. I mean, and that the coach hears that and goes, okay, he knows his role, but that juice is still there.
It
He's
is.
Still got that fire.
And remember, during the regular season, one of his best friends died. His father-in-law
right.
passed away
yeah.
suddenly.
Right.
And we were talking to him at the podium that day, and he was like, you know, unexpected. And I think he was still kind of shocked that it happened. He's like, he's a good man, and he just said, go out and win for us. He'd always tell me, go out and win on Sunday, and that's what we did. So he's been the high and the low, and to watch what he's doing now is amazing. It's just absolutely amazing.
And I think, you know, from an X's and O's standpoint, I think the secondary for the Chiefs, that is probably their biggest weakness, and it has been all season. Now, it's gotten better at times, but if there were ever an area to try and expose to gain points in this game, it's going to be that secondary, and Tannehill has been good at that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, one thing with A.J. Brown, he's had an awesome rookie season. When he goes up against number one corners,
right.
it's been tough. But this is a situation where I think A.J. Brown could have a big game, and is probably going to need one.
We asked Chiefs fans how they would stop Derrick Henry, and a couple of them like, I would put Tyrann Mathieu on him, the honey badger. And I said, you know, he's not the big – I mean, he's tough, right? I get that.
Yeah.
Like, he'll take Henry down. I'm like, okay.
Sure. Well, Frank Clark says he's, you know, easy to tackle.
Yeah,
so.
Whatever. You would think it could happen there, and it's – whatever. But, you know, the Titans have no smack talk. I know they're getting on the plane here shortly, flying to Kansas City. Will arrive in about an hour and a half or so, 2 hours. And then it gets real.
I hope their flight's easier than what I went through yesterday.
Where'd you go?
Well, we flew from Nashville to Atlanta. So, okay. You know, that's a hop, skip, and a jump.
But you were supposed to go from Atlanta here, right?
Yes.
When did you find out the flight here was canceled?
So we found out probably 20 minutes after we landed. We got off. We got to the gate. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden we see delayed by 15 minutes, delayed by now 45 minutes, and we're going, uh-oh. And then the reports came out about the plane that skid off the runway, and now the airport's closed. We go, and here it comes, and then boom, canceled. So go up to the ticket counter. They're like, yeah, we're putting you on the next flight, which is going to be a 12:40 flight to Kansas City. We're like, okay, that's fine, whatever. And so, you know, we changed our plans and adjusted, and we're good to go. So I'm sitting with Jared and Floyd, and we're eating. And I just said, boys, I got a bad feeling. I got a really bad feeling. And about that time, I get the alert on my phone, your flight has been canceled. So we had two flights canceled. And I go up, and they're like, yeah, there are no more flights to Kansas City. Number one, the airport's still closed. And they were like, we could fly back to Nashville if you wanted to, but the next flight to Kansas City from Nashville wouldn't be until tonight, like Saturday night, which doesn't work for us. And so we ultimately made the decision of, okay, we'll go to St. Louis. We'll do the show at KMOX in St. Louis and then drive the rest of the way to Kansas City. And so that's what ended up happening.
What sort of time did you get here?
About midnight.
Goodness.
Yeah. So
that's why you should have drove on Wednesday with us.
I should have just done that road trip with the JoJo. That would have been fun. I saw you pass by a really big McDonald's. So that was
that was a high level trip getting up here. Yes.
He's Joe Dubin of Channel 4, Chase McCabe here live at McFadden's in Kansas City. JoJo's going to eat during the break. And when we come back, we'll put a bow on this thing, make some predictions and final thoughts before we turn things over to Jared and Floyd. It's all brought to you by Bojangles here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Joe Dubin hanging out McFadden's here in Kansas City. That's your kind of music right there, JoJo.
Is that
a rat?
That is rat, yes.
There you go. All brought to you by Bojangles. Appreciate them. JoJo will be doing a lot for Channel 4. Where can people see you later on tonight and tomorrow?
We will be all live. I'm talking to our producer right now at Channel 4. We will be live at 5 and 6 and at 10 o'clock tonight with Titans fans and the anticipation about tomorrow and making the drive here. So be live at 5, 6, and 10 on Channel 4. And tomorrow we have an hour show after at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Yeah. Hopefully it's a fun show and with talking about the Titans winning and going to the Super Bowl.
Now, you've always enjoyed kind of doing that because Justin Beasley's here and Chris.
Yep.
Chris Harris, they're here from the sports side, so they'll handle all the game coverage and the locker room stuff. You like doing the fan side and the different side of the sport.
How many of us are professional athletes for the Titans, NFL?
None of us. No.
How many of us like to root and have our heart ripped out by sports teams and fans and passion? So I like that. There's all these interesting stories because let me tell you what, this kind of thing brings together black and white, old and young, male, female. This has united a city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's united, and it's wonderful. The Preds did the same thing. They united a city. I had people talk to me I've never talked to before, male, female, black, white, old, young, about the Preds and the great run, and now it's about the Titans and the great run. I find it fantastic that I love passion. I wish I had passion for a team. I like sports. I don't have a favorite team, but I like the passion that people show. The Titans have got a lot of passion. I love talking to him, so we have all that. Sorry, I took a bite of that hamburger. Anyway, so I like all that, so we'll have it for you tonight at 5 and 6.
I want to ask you a hypothetical question because
In the words of Jeff Fisher, there are no hypotheticals.
Well, I knew you were going to say that. your NFL insider actually sent me a tweet.
Okay, love this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great service.
Richter Scale on
Richter
Twitter.
Scale. So he sent this back in December. This is from Prop Swap. So back in December, Ben from Boston purchased a Titans to win the AFC title ticket for $1,500. Today, he turned down a $19,000 offer. They tried to buy the ticket back for $19,000 and for a chance at $76,000. Would you have taken the $19,000 or are you going to ride it and try and win the whole thing?
I'd have gotten the $19,000.
So you take the buyout.
Yeah. And then you enjoy the game and so he spent $1,500?
Yeah.
So he's walking away with $17,500 in the pocket, enjoy the game and go. So it's not like he's losing money.
No, he made money. I mean, he's accomplished his goal, but
right. You
could win $76,000.
Yeah. I could date Cindy Crawford, but I'm not going to, right? So I would take the money.
Don't sell yourself short, Joe.
I'd pay the money and be happy, and I got $17,500. I'd give the 10% to the good Lord and enjoy the rest of it and hang out, right? 15 okay. grand.
I think I'd let it ride.
Would
I'd
you
go,
really?
I'd go for the extra $75,000.
Oh.
But I mean, that's the gambler.
Man.
I mean,
good
that's
for you.
You know, but I'd let it ride. See, because
breaking news: Chase McCabe found in the Missouri River. No, man, I just give me the money, man.
Because that same story came up with there was a Blues fan that bet on the Blues to win the Cup when they were dead last, and so the payout was going to be ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And the book tried to buy it back a couple times, and the price kept going up, and he let it ride and ended up cashing.
How much you get?
Oh, man. Ricky, I'll have to ask Ricky, but I mean, I think it was six figures.
It's NFL insider. Nah, yeah. He doesn't have a name.
Well,
NFL insider. I always liked the Phil Mickelson one about the Ravens in 2000.
Yeah.
When they were 80-1 odds, he dropped 10 grand on them and won $800,000. I mean, he probably put 10 grand on every team because he could have, but
right.
The fact is that he won that. So I don't gamble because, I want my kids to have their dad around because yes. I would lose all the money. And, B, I want them to get through college and all that other stuff. So I have a purpose for not gambling. But
yeah, I feel
you know, I lost the last bet I had on gambling football, 2005. I took the Tennessee Vols to beat Notre Dame at Neyland Stadium. Notre Dame came in there and just destroyed Tennessee. I lost $800 to our good friend the Sudzo. So I had to pay $880. Which, newsflash, JoJo didn't have. So I had to borrow the money. I think it was from my brother, and paid off. I had to pay him back. I was like, I can't do this. I can't.
You learned the hard way.
Yeah, I learned the hard way. You know, like, I didn't want to end up in the Missouri River with you.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
You don't make the
bets. It's cold.
It is cold. I don't need Tony Soprano coming after me. No, thank you. I don't do that. I'll just enjoy the game. This guy should take the money and just enjoy the game.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this game tomorrow. It's a fun matchup. You know, we mentioned the two teams have played already this year. The Titans got that win, a thrilling victory at Nissan Stadium. Obviously a different atmosphere. Arrowhead, not an easy place to play. It's going to be cold.
Right.
I don't think that really bothers anyone, but they've been lucky because you look at the places that they've had to play in the playoffs. New England this time of year is usually cold. It wasn't. It was rainy. Baltimore, same thing. It was 69 degrees at kickoff. In Baltimore. They didn't have to deal with weather. It poured after the game, but they didn't have to deal with it during the game. So this is the first weather-type test that the Titans will really have to face in the playoffs, and I don't think it really bothers them. Vrabel was asked about it and kind of scoffed at it, like, this is football.
Yeah, football, and you got – what you going to get all the stuff underneath. I mean, the linemen are not going to wear the dry-fit stuff to keep warm. It's football. You put the jacket on the sidelines, and you go out there. This is what you played for.
Yeah.
This is the workout starting in April. This is the mini camp in June. This is sweating through the two-a-days, and the Patriots come to town, and the preseason games, and all that. And you're 2-4, and you hate the world, and you rally, and now you're in the AFC Championship game. This is a moment you play for. This is a moment when Ben Jones was a junior high school in Alabama. Yep. This is what you play for. This is when all these guys, when LaJuan was growing up in Phoenix, Arizona, this is what you play for, this moment, and it's right there. And just pour your heart out tomorrow.
Minutes.
Us against the world. Nobody's supposed to be here. Use the Winston Churchill, what he said to the people of England in 1940 about Germany. You come over here, we're going to fight you in the streets. We're going to fight you on the beach. We're going to fight you in our houses. But we will never, ever surrender.
Right.
And that's what I would use tomorrow. We are going down fighting.
There's your pregame speech.
That's my TED Talk number two, people. That's all free.
That's all free. You'll have one that's not free at the MAPCO and Smyrna coming up here soon.
Right.
But the coaching matchup, you have Mike Vrabel in his second year it's been a roller coaster, but he's gotten them to this point. You have Andy Reid, the veteran that I think one day will be in Canton, Ohio. No matter what happens, but he's 1-5 all time in championship games.
Yes, he is.
So how do you see it playing out? Give me a prediction.
I see Titans win tomorrow. I think it's a absolute slugfest, 27-20.
27-20. Do you think, because this is the crazy part, Greg Joseph has not attempted a field goal as a member of the Tennessee Titans. I struggle sometimes to remember the kicker's name.
Right. I had no idea that was his name.
Yeah,
either.
That's his name, Greg Joseph.
Right.
Where's number seven? Will they have to kick a field goal?
Hey, Vrabel's got confidence in him. I think he will and get
or
it done.
Or attempt one, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the story. Here's this guy walking out, and everybody's going to go, who's number seven? Who is this?
Yeah.
To send the Titans to the Super Bowl.
Well, you know what? In 14, they came here. They beat, opened the season, Wisenhut's first win as a Titans coach.
Yep.
Was here, they won. They came here in 16, Suckup kicks the field goal, they win. 17, they came here and won the playoff game. So I know there's been a lot of turnover, but there's still guys on the team who remember those victories, Jarrell, LaJuan, and 14. And I just have to get it done tomorrow. I think they taste it. This team, the momentum is there. Why stop now?
Yep, I'm and with
plus,
you.
Plus, like, people got to understand, I have an underlying reason for wanting them to win. I want to go to Miami. I want to go.
Do you have the latest temperature? Is it 80 yet?
It was 78 an hour ago. So.
Okay, well, it's probably going up. I mean, I can just see the JoJo on South Beach. You know,
no, I can't. It's 75, partly cloudy, but tomorrow 80 in Miami. So
okay, there you go.
Let's play, man. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me.
Joe, we'll be watching on Channel 4 tonight and tomorrow. Appreciate you hanging out with us. For Joe Duman, I am Chase McCabe. Thanks to McFadden's in Kansas City for having us, Bojangles as well. But don't go anywhere. Do not change that dial. Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, Jared and the GM, that is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.